Welcome back into the Mountain View Chevy Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. It's not a Chevy unless it's a Mountain View Chevy. Big Cy Houston, you okay over there?
No, I just saw a little nugget on Twitter that made me very not happy.
Uh-oh. Are we still talking basketball?
Yeah. Our good friend Doug Brooks tweeted it out, and I just verified it, and it's not good. Against the top six teams in the SEC standing, Tennessee's owned four, and they haven't played Florida, and obviously haven't played themselves, but they've lost to Auburn, Missouri, Alabama, and Arkansas, and they get Florida next Wednesday. Oh, God. Now I'm starting to do that thing. Are we a paper tiger? Have we just beaten up on the really bad teams?
I don't know what,
Lost a bad game to Auburn, should have won. Lost a bad game to Missouri, should have won. Got throttled at Alabama, had no chance of winning that one. And then blew it against Arkansas. So it's not like we're getting killed in these games, but you had a chance to finish off three of the four and didn't do it. And now that I'm seeing, the top six, and you're about to play Florida, if you need to beat Florida. Need to beat Georgia, who's 4-8 in the conference. Georgia's not good. Beat them and then take care of Florida. Please prove yourself. By the way, Georgia, good God. Georgia's lost seven of their last nine. They did beat Florida, though. Shouts out.
Sam tweeted us this morning, like before the show even started.
Shouts out to Sam.
Like right as the show started, just to the station, said, flip side of Vol's good season. Look at the top six in the standings. We have lost to every one of these teams with Florida yet to play.
Oh, God.
Add in the Villanova and UNC losses, and you can see there's a pattern of losing to quality teams.
Oh, no.
Purdue being the only exception.
Shoot. Insecurity problems, Houston.
Isn't that normal, though?
It's like, right, though. Look at the teams.
Don't you lose to better teams? Like, that's who you lose to. That's not a bad thing to say we lose to the good teams. A lot of these teams in college basketball that are also in the top 20 lose to some bad teams.
Outside of Alabama, they've all been right there within reach.
I just said that. I know.
How many quality wins?
But you gotta win one. Get over the hump.
How many quality wins would you say are on Tennessee's schedule? Because that's what has to balance it out.
Okay.
At the end of the day.
Okay. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna quality win report. Here's Tennessee's quality win report.
It's not as bad as people. Go
ahead. Purdue, quality win.
Boom. That's big.
NC State.
Yes.
Really?
Keith has got them going.
I don't know.
Right,
I honestly don't. I kind of lost track of them in the middle bulge of the ACC, right?
NC State currently 16-9, eighth in the ACC. Call it a medium win.
Nine teams right now are in the bracket for.
So they're
the
a tournament
ACC
team
right now. I mean, I believe so.
Wins over tournament teams could be kind of a secondary. Like, okay, here's the high quality wins, and then here's wins over tournament teams.
So we got a Q win and a T win.
Okay,
NC State T win. At Georgia Tech.
No, I wouldn't consider that quality. I mean, you won.
No,
there,
they're
11-14.
Georgia Tech sucks. Felt good at the time. Georgia Tech's not very good.
What about Wake Forest?
Not
you guys
really.
Are looking at the
ACC.
They're
really struggling.
All right.
Are they? What's their record? I'm just looking. Oh, God, they're 9-16. They're 14th in the ACC. These teams are terrible. Oh, my gosh.
How about?
Oh, my gosh.
See.
We
thought sweeping Kentucky was.
They're the last ranked team in the SEC standings. They're terrible. Oh, God.
What? That didn't make any sense. What do you mean by that?
Kentucky's not good.
You said they're the last team in the SEC standings, so I'm trying to figure out.
I thought they were.
No, there's. That would be Vanderbilt.
He's saying like last ranked team, so of all the SEC teams that are ranked. Is that what you're getting at, Houston?
I don't think that's what he said, but whatever.
They stink.
Is that what you're going for?
They stink. That's all that matters. They stink. Kentucky stinks.
6-6 in the league now.
Golly.
Tied with Mississippi State.
Oh, gosh.
Behind Arkansas.
Okay.
At this point.
Okay. Just catch your breath, everybody. Everyone calm down. Everyone just calm down.
You're the one freaking out
Next.
Over there.
Next. What's the next win? The big win on the schedule. So we beat Kentucky.
You can't
might be
Texas
a T win. Might be at Y.
That's not a high call.
It's a T win.
That's a T win.
Uh huh. Okay. Missouri, South Carolina, Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I know
people, Iowa State?
No.
Are they a T team?
No. I don't think so.
No, they're still like bottom of the
guys.
They got that big win after Tennessee beat them, but then they lost again to some bad teams.
Guys,
that's it, buddy.
Oh God,
that's it,
guys. This was an awful segment. I feel terrible.
A bad
now.
Exercise.
This is all. Why did
Doug
we? Why
and did Sam? We, I tip my hat to you guys.
I'm afraid you're right. It's probably better that we figure it out now.
Jordan Oliver's ready to fire Rick Barnes now. After that, he's like, just bring in Steve Forbes next year. I think that's a slight overreaction, Jordan, but... Can I attempt to make you feel better right now? Or should I just wait till the next segment?
No, please, God, try. Please.
They had North Carolina beat.
Did they beat them?
No.
No. They had Villanova beat. Did they beat them? They had Arkansas beat.
But,
did they beat them? They had Auburn beat. Did they beat them? They had Missouri beat. Did they beat them? They had Alabama. Never going to touch Alabama.
But if you're worried that they're just not good enough to beat the high-end teams, I think that's false.
But if they don't beat the high-end teams, how do you know they're good enough?
Because we're projecting forward. Like, can they?
What did you say beforehand, before the show even started? You laid some knowledge. It was a great quote. Is about percentages.
Percentages are the past, not the future. Thank you, Davey. That
measure
helps.
The past.
Percentages measure the past, not the future.
See, that's what I'm saying. The quality of this team is there to beat those teams.
It's also there to lose to South Carolina. If you're going to say we kept it close and then lost, you got to say the same for South Carolina, lost six straight now.
Yeah, they beat some teams early in the year. Then they beat Florida on the road.
So what have we just surmised from this? What are we saying now about this basketball team? Because my whole world just shattered down. I'm living in a fog. I feel like I'm in the upside down. I thought this team was really good, and now here we are, and there's things floating around in the air, and I can't breathe good, and now all of a sudden I have asthma, and Rick Barnes and the boys might not be as good as I thought they were.
They're 19-6. They were projected to finish 13th in the SEC.
No, we're not Derek Dooley in the thing, giving them credit.
No one has it harder than us.
Not giving him credit because people didn't know.
RPI ranking.
They're doing things around here that haven't been done in 20 years.
Corey Hill once asked the question, do we give him credit for beating Clemson in an exhibition game?
Please, God, yes.
No.
Yes. Yes.
No.
Is that Clemson?
On the road. It was on the road. Yes!
No!
That's a Q win. Q win in a scrimmage.
You rotate guys differently when it doesn't count.
Shh. Oh, God. Well, the good news is we've only got one tough game left. So the odds of getting to...
Or is that the bad news? There's only one more chance to prove you can beat good
teams.
Well,
no, what's going to be really scary... And I'm not projecting it. I'm just saying this would be the nightmare scenario is Tennessee somehow beats Florida because it's a home game, and then you win the final three games of the season after hopefully taking care of Georgia. You get to 24-6, and
that's scary.
Because then tournament play starts, and you get good teams, and you don't make it very far. That's what's scary. The scary thing is this season could go from incredibly exciting, and then the postseason gets here, and you get two bad matchups, and you're going home. I'm just scared, that's all. It's getting real, and so I'm getting nervous because I'm now seeing the fact that against the good teams, we're like 1-7, even though we've lost six games. Because some of these wins, frankly, felt like losses.
Well, I think what Doug's saying is if you lose to Florida, now all of a sudden, if you end up tied with Florida, Missouri, and Alabama, you're the 5 seed in the SEC tournament.
Son of a... Crap. Hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
You wouldn't have the tiebreaker on any of those teams you played once.
God. Now we were talking about winning the conference, and now we're talking about maybe getting the 5 seed.
Mm-hmm.
What a week. I mean, wow.
I mean, they won last night. I don't know why. I mean,
they didn't look good, Nate.
They might beat Florida.
They didn't look good.
They could beat Florida.
Yeah, they could lose. Huh? I mean, what are you doing? Yeah, I know they could win. I don't get your point.
Once you get in the NCAA tournament, does, like...
If we even make it! I think last night actually locked us in. I think at 19 now we're locked. I think 19 wins with this schedule locked in even if you lose out. I think we're in.
That's where Tennessee fans are.
What I'm saying is...
If we lose the rest, we still...
We've got it on... It's on the board. What I'm saying is we have at least secured a point for the season. We are lobbing the cornhole bag. It's stuck on the board. We're getting one no matter what. We might not win the whole round, but we're getting a point.
Can you imagine if Butch Jones had had this season after being picked 13th in the league?
This is kind of what his year felt like when everyone thought we were doing good. You know? This is... They started out great, and then all of a sudden you lose to A&M and Bama.
So you're afraid this basketball team...
We just lost to Bama again!
You're afraid this basketball team is similar to the Butch Jones team that was winning close and then lost to South Carolina and Vanderbilt down the stretch?
Kyle Alexander hit a three to beat Purdue. That was the Hail Mary. I'm saying maybe we, and I'm guilty, because I thought in the preseason this team was good, but they've exceeded my expectations, but maybe that's because it's paper information. Maybe they're not as good as I think they are, or hope they are. I want them to be good. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying, dang, when you're 0-4 against the top six in the SEC and you've got the fifth coming and you're going to be favored, you better not lose that game. You got to prove you can beat the upper half of the SEC. Everybody's bragging on the SEC how great the SEC is. Joe Lunardi, oh, yeah, top to bottom, the SEC is good. Oh, yeah, don't worry about Tennessee going and getting slammed by Alabama. It's the SEC. It's a tough league. Well, you better be able to beat at least somebody in the top half of that league.
Good point. I was pulling up Missouri's year stats. I mean, they lost to the same kind of teams. I mean, they're right there.
And they beat you.
I will say Missouri might be getting Michael Porter Jr. back.
We said this yesterday. I don't want to think about that. They've now won 5 in a row.
There was a guy tweeting yesterday that Konzo should be on the Coach of the Year ballot for the nation. To be fair, an SEC expert.
We're
going
to lose to Missouri in the
SEC
tournament, and I'm going to want to jump off the Henley Street Bridge.
It's in St. Louis.
Yeah, I mean,
game's in St. Louis.
I know.
Probably
they're
going to
get Michael Porter Jr. back, and it's going to be in St. Louis. Konzo Martin and the Missouri Tigers are going to win the SEC tournament. Bruce is going to win the regular season championship, and I am going to flip so bad.
Mountain View Chevy is the number one Chevy dealer in all of East Tennessee, and we're proud to partner with them. We like being number one, and they're located in downtown Chattanooga, so if you're in that area, you definitely got to check them out. And even if you're up here in Knoxville, as we are here live in the Mountain View Chevy studios, shop their inventory online at mtnviewchevy.com, and if you're looking for something specific, just give them a call. Tell them you heard about them right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. We'll be glad that you mentioned us as you shop with our sponsors there. Just give them a shout. MTNViewChevy.com is the website, and they're your Chevy Silverado truck champions. Right now, all this wet weather, all this muddy stuff, it's a great time to pick up a new pickup truck. Mountain View Chevy, it's not a Chevy unless it's a Mountain View Chevy. I'm looking at the schedule. I mean, Virginia's the number one team in the country. They were poised to be number one in the AP poll, and they lost to unranked Virginia Tech. I know it's an in-state game. I don't care. Tennessee's got Georgia twice down the stretch. Georgia's lost 8 of 10. It's probably going to be 9 of 11 after tonight. Georgia sucks. That's two more wins for Tennessee. Yeah, they may or may not beat Florida, but a lot of teams have worse losses than Tennessee. I'm going to cancel that out with the fact that there's not some. They beat Villanova. They're going to be a number one seed. You only get that so many opportunities to beat high-end teams.
Who beat Villanova?
Wait, I said they're on team. They beat Purdue. They're going to be a number one seed. Maybe. They've been losing some lately. Maybe not.
Maybe Purdue's not good either.
They should have beat Villanova.
Oh, no.
We're up double digits the first half. Let's get to some of the fan reaction here. We up first, we have Steve.
Twitter loves me right now.
I'm sure. Eat a Snickers. Steve, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys.
Cut the check, Snickers.
Houston, do you live in West Knoxville?
Yeah. No, I live downtown, kind of.
No,
downtown.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Stay at somebody's house. Stay away from the overpasses and the bridges.
I go on so many bridges on my way to work. Steve.
Yeah, just somebody drive him home. Yeah. Keep him away from those. And strap him in like a six-year-old, okay?
Yeah.
Five points.
Guys, could we lose to Florida? Yeah, we could. We could theoretically lose because the SEC is the deepest conference in this country. We could lose to any one of these teams coming up, okay? But look at it. Where did we lose? Arkansas, Missouri, Alabama. Those were road games. Okay.
Yeah,
we lost to Auburn, but I think a lot of teams would probably lose to Auburn on their home floor.
A lot of teams have, frankly.
And a lot of teams have. So we need to pump the brakes on the sky's falling.
Okay.
And you know what?
What?
I wouldn't, excuse me, I wouldn't really consider it all that bad if Tennessee did fall to the sixth line.
Okay.
Less pressure on the team.
Yeah.
I don't want to be on the five line.
No.
That's a bad line to
bad
be on.
Line.
But if they fall to the sixth line, I'm not going to freak out and panic or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. As they have us projected now, we're a four seed. Who do we play in the round of 32 if they won their game, the top seed? Probably Gonzaga.
Oh, God.
You want to play Gonzaga in the third round of 32?
No.
I'd rather play
I don't think they're that good this year.
Well, I mean, they're still Gonzaga. They're well coached.
True. Mark Hughes is a great coach.
History.
Okay. So, anyway, I mean, it's all cool. And besides, I'm not going to come off this because I didn't think we were number 13 in the league when the season started, but I certainly, and honestly, I thought we were more like a 10 in the conference. And I told all my friends and family, hey, if they make the tournament this year, I will lay off of Rick Barnes, okay, and run with it because I honestly, I mean, really, if you look at the makeup of this team, we don't really have a good point guard that plays a lot of minutes.
Wait, Steve.
Steve's making my point.
That's the point.
He's saying we're not that good. That's my point, Steve.
That's why people hate on Rick Barnes is because they don't have that type of talent.
I'm not knocking Rick Barnes. I'm just saying. I guess maybe I would be knocking Rick Barnes, wouldn't it?
It's good. I mean, it's. I see what Steve's saying. He's being true to what
Steve
he said.
Steve was like, "You need to calm down." Steve's not as good as some people think. Wait, Steve, that's what I'm saying.
It's Valentine's Day, Houston, the day of love. Like you're just.
I love this team.
And Steve, when we were talking about falling to the number five seed, we were talking about in the SEC,
yeah,
not in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Five or four, no matter.
Obviously, one. Could correlate to the other. But let's get TNT before the break. Thanks for the call, Steve. Go grab a cough drop, buddy. TNT, you're up next.
Houston, man, you need to get the hell away from Twitter and get out and have some fun. That's why you left Quaker State early the other night. You had to tweet. You and John Tweet are partners.
That's fighting words.
He's done got you thinking all negative about Barnes and the basketball.
No, I'm not negative. I'm being real. Maybe we're just not as good.
Wait a minute. Define negativity. Houston Chris, John Sweet. Come on, dude.
I'm not knocking Barnes. I'm just saying maybe they're, you know.
I'm just saying. I mean, 10, 15 minutes ago, you had me ready to run off the road.
Don't do that.
I mean, think about that, man, before you get on here and start rapping.
Sorry.
People's lives are in your hand, bro.
It's right. It's Valentine's Day. I'm going to come up with 10 things I love about this team.
Hey, you know what? That would be a great positive thing tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow.
I would love to hear Houston Crest to start out positive.
Positive.
Just have a positive show.
Positive Crest. That's me, TNT. Good idea. TNT.
Tweety.
Tweety Houston.
No. No.
He's a tweeter, man. You and John Tweet, boy. You boys are holding hands. Hey, your screener had a good point. Where were we picked to finish in the SEC this year?
13th,
I mean, you can say you don't. There you go.
13th.
You can say I don't want to hear that, but you know, Barnes deserves a raise after this year.
I can agree with that. I can agree with that. I'm actually very pro Barnes. I'm pro Barnes.
Unlike John Tweet, you're pro Barnes.
Tweet hates Barnes.
But listen, guys, happy Valentine's Day. And Houston, I just worry about you, brother. I really
man,
do. Twitter's going to kill you, man.
I appreciate that you worry about me, TNT. That's nice. Right. That's love, man. Happy Valentine's Day. Thanks for the call.
You feeling better?
I mean, a little bit. It's nice to, you know, people care. Makes you feel good. Makes you feel good.
Grayson said your rant actually made him agree with caller Steve for the first time ever. What have you done?
I mean, there is such a thing as perspective, right? But we talk about nuance on this show all the time, okay? You can, you know, I can go back to preseason and say, yeah, 19-6 would sound really, really good. I would definitely take that. But in the moment, I can also look at these games closely and say, man, could have won that one, could have won that one, could have won that one, could have won that one. Mm. It's just nuance. And after last night's performance, on the heels of what were two pretty rant performances this week. I know it's a win over Kentucky. Never gonna poo-poo a win over Kentucky.
Especially
in Rupp. Yeah, especially at Rupp. Never gonna do it. From 10,000 feet, a win in Rupp. Wow. But as you watch that game, it wasn't the crispest of games. Didn't play crisply. And Alabama didn't show up. So I'm just trying to mellow out.
I mean, you can go into the nuance on any team in the country. Any games they have, and
right.
We haven't talked about the ones that we won that we barely escaped. You just always get caught looking at the ones you didn't win. It's the losses that hurt more than like I hate losing more than I love winning.
Same.
Today's Sweet Pea Barbecue poll question: you can pick one for Tennessee basketball this season. You can go vote at Fox Sports Knox. One option's running away with it. See if you agree. You can vote right there on Twitter. We'll update the results as we kick off hour number two. Feeling better, Houston?
I love our shoes that we wear. We wear great shoes on the court.
There's one. We'll see if he can come up with nine more things he loves about Tennessee basketball.
Love the shoes.
As we kick off hour number two of the program next right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Kicking off hour number two of the program, it's Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day doesn't get a secret little emoji on Twitter. That's shameful.
No?
When you hashtag Valentine's Day, you don't get anything.
Well, it might offend people that don't, you know, have a significant other, Houston. It's probably the reason.
You're right. God. Okay, you're right, yeah, sir.
It's got to be it, right? Talk Tennessee basketball, entire hour number one. If you missed any of that discussion, you can always hit up the podcast. And you guys, make sure you subscribe on iTunes. Get those delivered right to your device. It's time now to switch over to the football side of things, though. Only Tennessee could have breaking news in football February the 13th, just out of the blue. It always happens after we're done. And like 10:05 is breaking news time around here.
Because they know we'd have some things to say about
it. That's true.
That's why. Yeah, but pretty, I would say, sizable news yesterday, breaking right after we got off the air. As Tennessee announced... Well, first reported by VolQuest.com. I want to give them the credit they deserve for doing the digging and the scooping. I'll leave it at that. And announced that Robert Gillespie and Tennessee have parted ways.
It's a breakup.
A little further digging by myself, investigative journalism, all over the place, which is now out there. This is not news, really. But apparently Jeremy Pruitt wanted to keep the recruiting coordinator around through recruiting, kind of give him a chance to earn his place on the team. Did not offer him a contract extension or a raise. Said, well, I'd like to work with you a little bit before deciding what to do. From all accounts I got yesterday, was the plan was going to be that Robert Gillespie would be on staff for a first year under Jeremy Pruitt, and then the decision would be made. But apparently in 2 short months, it became obvious that Jeremy Pruitt and this staff did not exactly mesh well with Robert Gillespie. An interesting article by John Bryce on Gridiron Now yesterday said that Jeremy Pruitt feels that some members of Butch Jones' staff that were held over had stale mindsets. We also got a little bit of information that Jeremy Pruitt was not thrilled with Tennessee's finish at running back, and that maybe there could have been, well, not could have been, there were some botched handlings as far as who Tennessee signed at the running back position in the signing class. Tennessee really wanted Anthony Grant, who obviously flipped to Florida State. They could have had Gregory Bell, but felt confident in the ability to get Grant and maybe one other. Gregory Bell goes to Nebraska. Anthony Grant, as I said, goes to Florida State, and then you don't get Josh Corbin. Tennessee still trying to get in with a running back if they can find kind of the right fit. I know there was a couple out there that did not sign on signing day. But essentially, this was a personality clash, and I think some people were pretty disappointed in the finish that Robert Gillespie had on the recruiting trail. And so it seems as if Jeremy Pruitt said, if I'm gonna lose, I'm gonna lose with my guys at least. At least that way, I don't want any excuses on the staff of things like that, which I appreciate. I think the last coach probably would have found excuses and behind the scenes kind of played the card of, well, he wasn't one of my guys. I didn't know. I wanted to, you know, blah 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 blah, so on and so forth. But Gillespie moves on. Not sure where he will end up. And now Tennessee starts the search for a new running backs coach. Excuse me. The names being mentioned are very interesting. You saw Chris Winkie's name getting thrown around yesterday. Chris Winkie, obviously former Florida State quarterback, head coach at IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida for a while. And now, where is he now? Do you remember? Didn't he just get a job somewhere as a quality control coach for Alabama, maybe? Something like that. Anyway,
sounds right.
His name is apparently on the short list. I've heard Rush Probst's name thrown around, former Hoover High School head coach, a guy who coached with Jeremy Pruitt long time ago, and still remains close with Pruitt, has good recruiting ties to Georgia and Alabama, and a name that I'm not giving much thought to, and if Tennessee were to do it, it would be the ultimate coup, the ultimate steal, Burton Burns.
Burton Burns, yes, Smithers.
Burton Burns is the running back coach at Alabama, has been since 2007. He's the king of developing running backs and a guy who, frankly, does not get that much credit. Only issue I have with Burton Burns is he's 65, a little bit older compared to some of the other guys on the staff. But if you were able to steal the running backs coach at Alabama, if there's one position that Alabama has been phenomenal at for the last decade plus, well, it's Burton Burns. He's just a little bit old, and I just don't think you're going to steal Burton Burns from Alabama, but maybe I'm crazy.
I love some of the pictures of him, especially the one where he's got all the rings on.
Yeah. No, he looks like a hoot, man.
Yeah.
He looks like I will say this. He does appear to be a young 65.
Yeah.
Not exactly, you know, limping with a crooked back around the complex. Looks like a guy who could still go out and maybe give you a carry or two if you had to. But I guess, again, 10,000 feet, is it fair to say that Gillespie was the best coach on a very, very, very bad staff for 4 years? Like, is he maybe overinflated in the eyes of Tennessee fans because his position group was one of the only ones that produced over 5 years? I think he was only here for four. Didn't they have Jay Graham the first year, if I'm not mistaken? Or maybe they got him immediately. I can't remember. Maybe Jay Graham left after signing day. So is it fair that because you know, Gillespie comes in and you go get Jalen Hurd and you get Alvin Kamara, who are very talented players, and then you go get John Kelly, who's good, Ty Chandler is good, is it fair to say that he's maybe a little bit overhyped as a coach?
Maybe.
In the eyes of Tennessee fans? I think he was good. A lot of people yesterday, a lot of people said that this was a horrible, horrible day in Tennessee football history. That you lost a really, really, really good coach yesterday. And I don't know that I felt the same way when kind of piecing together all of the information.
Maybe, but I don't want to sheep it up either way, because I do think his position group was one of the few during the Butch Jones era here where you could tell they had obviously been taught a certain way to play, a certain way to carry the football, a certain way to read the hole and hit the hole. And when, you know, for most of that time here, it didn't matter who you put in the game, they still seemed to maximize their ability. Like, even when the young guys last year got into football games, even when it was, you know, Fields and me and Ty Chandler, and they seemed to maximize their physical ability. So, on the one hand, yeah, you're probably grading on a curve, because I felt like the wide receivers at Tennessee during the Butch Jones era never had a clue. And I mean that from a coaching standpoint, not a player standpoint. They seem to be always focused on the wrong stuff, like how to stand before the snap and how to, you know, sprint down the field at the end of the third quarter, but never how to actually get open and catch the football away from their body in traffic. Like that, it seemed like the focus at other positions was always on the wrong stuff. And at running back, they looked like they had been coached. So, yes.
Is running back not also the easiest position group to kind of develop on offense?
It is in the run game, but I still think, you know, when in pass protection, most of the time, save maybe the Fields and me off the head fumble of Josh Dobbs, which comes to mind. But I remember, you know, Hurd always excellent in pass protection. Kamara was always in the right spot with pass protection. That's the hardest thing to teach young running backs, especially guys that come in highly touted and just want to carry the rock. So, I don't know how to feel about that. I do think Robert Gillespie was one of the coaches on Butch Jones' staff that had a clue, at least with his position, and they knew what they were doing. Does that mean this is a big loss, some type of loss? I don't. It really just depends on who you replace him with. Like if you have somebody on your – if you have the eighth best quarterback in the NFL and you're really happy about that because you feel like there's only 10 good ones, but you replace him with the sixth best quarterback, then it doesn't matter, right? Like, it's still an improvement. So if Jeremy Pruitt goes out and hires a running backs coach that's at least as good or better than Robert Gillespie, it doesn't matter if he was good or not on the Butch Jones staff. So to me, it's more about who do you replace him with and how do they do?
Well, naturally, yeah. But I mean, if they go out and hire you tomorrow, I'm not going to say great trade. No
right.
offense. I mean, obviously that matters. What I'm saying, though, is I do think Robert Gillespie is replaceable. That's what I'm getting at. There were a lot of people yesterday, and I'm not telling people how to feel. I'm just saying there were a lot of people that said, wow, you know, Jeremy Pruitt just got rid of the most experienced offensive staff member he had. This was the one guy who held Tennessee. There's part of me that says Robert Gillespie did a good job in his time here based on kind of what was put onto the field. There's also a part of me that says that guy had Alvin Kamara and didn't stand up enough to Butch Jones to say, we got to start this guy. I don't want a yes man. Like,
yeah,
if you're the running backs coach and you want Kamara to get more carries, then you need to go tell the head coach and the offensive coordinator, hey, this guy's got to get more carries. There's already draft analysts right now on John Kelly saying he was underutilized and mismanaged at Tennessee. So while yes, they look good in spurts, I also want to say, can Tennessee do better? Probably. So it's I don't know.
It's hard for me to grade Robert Gillespie under Butch Jones.
Right.
I would have rather seen him under Jeremy Pruitt and see what he could do. But obviously, if they don't get along, if that's not going to work, it's Jeremy Pruitt's football staff. He can make the change.
Right.
He has.
And I've heard from a couple people now that Gillespie little bit difficult to work with and work for. I've heard that while his players do get better under him, that the players didn't exactly love Robert Gillespie. Like that, I'm just, and this is probably true of all coaches. I'm just saying, I don't think Robert Gillespie was over there and is the most loved guy in the complex. And now all of a sudden, for no reason, Jeremy Pruitt's saying, "Hey, take a hike." I don't think it was like that. I also don't think this was a systematic. We're keeping the recruiting coordinator till after signing day, and then we're cutting him loose and going to get my guy. I think this was a, we're going to give you a chance. They gave him 2.5 months. It didn't work out. He did kind of strike out down the stretch in recruiting. Jeremy Pruitt says, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down with my guys. Let me go get, you know, let me go get my running backs coach. Let me go get a guy who fits my philosophy. I mean, the fact that he said stale mindset tells me that he wants some guys who are going to be in there and be critical thinkers when it comes to football, not just to tell me what to do and let's do it type of guy. Maybe that's what Gillespie was. Maybe he wasn't. I don't know. I'm just saying, when you say, as a head coach, some of the guys that were here when I got here had stale mindsets when it comes to football, and we want guys who are really going to be innovators, that strikes me as somebody who wants to come in and say, we're changing everything. And frankly, if Jeremy Pruitt wants to come in and say, my staff will be my own, how can I tell him that that's a bad idea? How can I say, no, Jeremy Pruitt, you have to keep this guy? And I saw it yesterday. Everyone said, well, we wanted Butch Jones to keep Sam Pittman, and look how that worked out. That's a little bit different, in my opinion. Sam Pittman had proved to be an elite-level coach and recruiter. Gillespie, good coach, okay recruiting coordinator. I think Jeremy Pruitt can replace Robert Gillespie and get as good, if not better. I mean, if they go get Burton Burns, it's not even close. I mean, come on. Guy's got Heisman Trophy winners, 8 championship rings or whatever it is. I don't know. Bunches.
I wonder if the whole stale mindset quote maybe transcends even the coaching staff.
Oh, I think it absolutely does. I mean, you saw yesterday Bob Welton's gone. He's going to Nebraska.
That was the director of player personnel, and he's headed to Nebraska.
Frankly, once he got here, the recruiting took a huge, huge dip. He got here on the heels of the 2 good classes, and the rest were not very good. Like, sorry, Bob Welton, you will not be missed, in my opinion. I think Tennessee can do better than Bob Welton.
Well, before he came to Tennessee, he had been a scout for the Cleveland Browns. So, you know, I mean,
really stacked the roster up in Cleveland. They are loaded. He was there for how long? I don't know. No need to get into
9
it.
Nine years.
No offense to you personally. I don't know you. Haven't heard much good things. See you later. Go to Nebraska.
Drew Hughes was officially announced as the director of player personnel. You know, that was last week. He's been here a while, though. It was kind of Pruitt waiting to announce the entire staff. I'm with you, Houston. I don't think there was a planned, like, Robert Gillespie exit after signing day. If there had been, I mean, doesn't he look to find somewhere? Wouldn't he have had somewhere ready to go? I think it was he's the one guy people probably told Pruitt and spoke highly of. So he
gave him
a shot,
yep,
and
I agree.
Just decided it wasn't, you know, wasn't working out. So,
and I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. A guy wants his own guys around him. That just needs to be okay. And if he fails, he fails. Like he'll be judged the same either way. But in a way, I respect the move by Pruitt because we saw Butch Jones make a lot of staff changes in his 4 years here, 5 years here, right? Lot of staff changes. Offensive coordinator gone. You know, receiver coach. DC. Secondary guys. I mean, changes. Because when he got here, frankly, his staff wasn't good enough. I like the fact that Pruitt's saying, I want to get the best guys I can possibly get right now. Does that mean they're all here in 2 or 3 years? No. But this staff already infinitely better than the first one Butch Jones put on the hill.
Drew Hughes, your new director of player personnel. He has been at Florida, NC State, and Central Florida before, and of course worked with Pruitt at Alabama. He says, according to UTSports.com, Hughes will manage the recruiting department for the Vols, including on- and off-campus recruiting, talent evaluation, and high school relations. So it seems like Drew Hughes is in that. I don't know if it's the same role as the guy, the Austin Thomas guy from LSU.
Who, by the way, has yet to land anywhere, to my knowledge.
What is his
He was going to go to Ole Miss, and Ole Miss was like, okay, no, we
they
don't.
They rescinded the offer.
Apparently, this guy is a clown. apparently Austin Thomas is a complete clown and wants way more control than he's worth. Sounds like.
Such a weird.
Such a
maybe
strange
LSU story. Was the best fit for him, working with Ed Orgeron.
Just do what he wants.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a really, really weird situation that he's not somewhere. And that he left LSU, like completely left, before officially deciding to be at Tennessee, to get like caught in the middle. I mean, usually people make decisions, they're like, okay, I'm leaving this place because I'm going to this place, and then they end up there. And then if they leave again, it's after some period of time where they've decided they're unhappy. It's not like, oh, well, I've changed my mind, and now I'm just stuck in purgatory with nowhere to go. And now for it to happen with Ole Miss, more on their end than his end, it's very, very strange.
Sounds like maybe Tennessee dodged a bullet there. Might have dodged a bullet. Plus, now we get another coaching search. Now we get to go through the ringers again of identifying a top running back talent and bringing him in.
It's been too long.
Am I a bad person because I don't want Chris Winkie because during Hard Knocks, he just didn't come off like a guy that really knew much? Is that bad? Am I being too judgmental on a few video clips from behind the scenes? I mean, if you filmed me 24/7, I'm sure there's some times where I'd look like an idiot. So I don't know. I guess I'll keep an open mind if it's Chris Winkie or someone else that, I mean, you got to give him a shot. And really, I do think we give, just like with we talked about with quarterbacks and them being a product of the players around them, I think coaches are the same way. You know, Bob Shoop at Penn State looked pretty good. Bob Shoop with Butch Jones sucked. I mean, it's a team sport. It's a team game, and I think...
I guess my final kind of thought on the Gillespie thing, Jeremy Pruitt, I think, to this point, has been around enough winning staffs, winning programs, to know what he wants in a coach. And if Gillespie didn't fit that bill, didn't check all the boxes, and you can go get a guy that does, then you need to do that. That's just my opinion on it. If Jeremy Pruitt thinks, after 2.5 months, this isn't going to work, I don't see the point in waiting until this time next year just because you either feel bad or feel pressured to keep the guy or because, well, he did have a good year last year. Let's see what happens. I just think that if you're thinking about doing it, it's probably time to do it, right? You know, like, what's the old saying? The second you think about firing someone, you should probably just go ahead and fire someone. Sounds like that's what Jeremy Pruitt did. It's like, I'm going to give him a year. Tell you what, 2 months in, and I already know I'm going to fire you next year if I keep you the whole year. I'm just going to go ahead and cut loose now and bring in my guys, and we're going to move forward with a staff that I know is going to be complete for at least, you know, a full year, and we'll just see what happens.
If something's inevitable, just go ahead and do it. Right? That's the thinking.
And I do think that there's a lot of... I don't mind at all the fact that you want to wash all the Butch Jones stank off the program.
You might as well.
I mean, maybe that's not Gillespie's fault that he was paired with a guy like Butch Jones, but... Sorry.
Do you guys have any speculation on who will be announced to be the next recruiting coordinator?
No.
That's a good question. You can tweet us at Fox Sports Knox. Your thoughts will come back after a break. Stick with us. You're listening to 3 and Out, driven by Toyota Knoxville, right here on Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio.